I'm glad that you've chosen to listen to our messages from the Presbyterian Church of Barnet. I'm Howard Gaston, the pastor, and I believe that God's Spirit will speak to you during this time.
Today's scripture lesson is taken from Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 through 40. And this is, of course, towards the end of Christ's crucifixion and some great events that happened at that time. And Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. Then the curtain hanging in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split open, graves broke open, and many of the people, God's people who had died were raised to life. They left the graves, and after Jesus rose from the dead, they went into the holy city where many people saw them. When the army officer and the soldiers with him who were watching Jesus saw the earthquake and everything else that had happened, they were terrified and said, "He really was the Son of God." I don't know about you, but have you ever gone down through your normal route of commute, whether it's to the store or to work or just your regular travels, and all of a sudden notice that there's a new building there? Or the barn is taken down, and you stop and think, when did that happen? I've been passing this place every day, and all of a sudden there's a building here. For some reason, we miss those things. Have you ever driven down the Peacham Danville Road and looked off to the right and thought, oh, there's mountains over there? I haven't noticed them for a while. And have you ever noticed when your spouse shaves that you didn't know that he shaved? We go through life, just kind of going through life at times, and we miss sometimes more deeply the mysteries that God has for us. And our story today about the soldiers is what we're going to emphasize. We're a group of people that were standing right in front of the greatest mystery of all, God who became human. And they didn't notice until the very end. Now, it's interesting, when we hear about the story about the crucifixion of Jesus, we immediately, particularly many of us, think of Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion, and think of all the gruesomeness that Jesus went through and all the pain and agony that is part of the crucifixion process. And that certainly is true. But it's interesting that when you read the Gospels, they don't really go into the gruesome details. They really don't describe how Jesus was flogged. They don't really describe, you know, how much, you know, the whips went into him or how the blood flowed. They don't describe the whole medical process of dying that Jesus went through on that cross by literally suffocating. It's interesting to note that in many of the Gospels, they say, "and they crucified him." That's it. What they go into more detail about is the humiliation that Jesus went through. They tell us stories about how he was abused by the soldiers. They tell us stories about how they gambled for his clothing. They tell us stories about how the people around the cross insulted him. There seems to be a bit of emphasis for the gospel writers. There's at least seven examples here, and maybe more, depending on how you look at it. First off, the soldiers are said to have put a purple robe on Jesus to make him look more kingly. When he went to Herod, and Herod wasn't happy with him, he sent Jesus back dressed as a king to make him look like a joke because Herod didn't believe he was a king. They also, as part of that, the soldiers put that crown of thorns on his head and pushed it down on him. And then They blindfolded him, and then they began to spit, and they hit him, and they said, "All right, you great prophet, guess who hit you this time?" And they would hit him and spit on him, making fun of him. And then they all bowed down and said, "Hail to the King of Jews." And they had no desire to worship him as king. Of course, we know that while he was dying on the cross, they took his clothing and they gambled for his robe and gambled for the rest of his clothing as if he was nobody. Even Pilate participated in this humiliation because he put up a sign above Jesus' head saying, "The King of Jews." When the Jewish people wanted him to say, "He said he was the King of Jews," no, Pilate wanted to make a point that here's your king on the cross dying. And of course, the people that suffered with him, as well as the people around the cross, just started making fun of him, hurling insults at him. Jesus went through not only this tragic and agonizing death for us, but also he went through humiliation. That is something that I think every one of us can relate to, even more so than an agonizing, gruesome death. We all know of times in our lives and our situations where we have been humiliated, that we have been insulted, where we have been made fun of. We call it bullying now. But we've all experienced those situations, and we then can relate to the fact that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our God, experienced that as well. That he heard those insults, those false accusations, those circumstances that weren't true that they made fun of him about. And so we have a Savior that I think, if you agree with me, knows what it means to be humiliated to a nobody and what it's like to feel to be a nobody. Now, there's an interesting little thing that has happened. You've probably seen it on the internet. There's this famous violinist named Joshua Bell. And what he does and has done is he goes down to the New York subway, puts on a ball cap, some just junky clothes, puts out his violin case out in front of him, and he plays a song on his violin that's worth $3.4 million, and he plays for hours. And one time they marked it, they found out that I think 20-some people stopped to hear him when thousands of people walked past him. He made all of $32 while playing. The night before, he played in one of the music halls, and tickets cost a minimum of $100. Here he stood as if a nobody, and nobody paid attention to him, even though before them was this amazing violinist. Our story not only is about that Jesus was humiliated, but it's about those who did the humiliation. These soldiers who were trained and, you know, who were toughened and crass, and they didn't care about him, made fun, spit upon him, you know, dressed him up, did everything they could to make him feel like nothing. And the irony of that picture of the Lord of Lords hanging on the cross, and there below him are these soldiers hoping to win his sandals, his robe. But something changed. Something happened. Because after the earthquake and after the sky turned black and all those things, and after witnessing how Jesus went through all that, one gospel talks about one soldier. Matthew talks about how all of them stood there and looked up at Christ and said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." That's a huge statement in and of itself for any of us to say that. But for a Roman soldier to say that, that was borderline of treasoning. Treason. because Caesar was their god, not some prophet, Jewish prophet. And for them to recognize that Jesus was something more than just a common criminal was a huge transformation that went in their hearts from humiliating him to honoring him. This Lenten season, and actually Lent is really all about that. Lent has been this time where we can slowly walk through these days contemplating who Jesus really is. Contemplating the fact of how often we walk past the mysterious, walk past the power, walk past the grace that is in Jesus Christ, and don't recognize it. And Lent's that time for us to be able to stop and say, you know, there's something more here. Palm Sunday is a day in which we, you know, people, as we talked about in the children's sermon, saw Jesus in a sense from afar. They saw this guy who did miracles, saw this guy who fed thousands, saw this guy who, you know, raised Lazarus from the dead. And so they saw him as being something that they wanted, a new king, a new regime of some sort. But it wasn't until they, or anybody, was able to get close to who Jesus was, that's when they began to understand who he really was. That's when they were able to say with the soldiers, "This truly is the Son of God." And sometimes for the soldiers, it takes a traumatic event, an earthquake, sky turning black for no reason at all, kind of gets your attention. And unfortunately, sometimes for us, it takes a quote-unquote earthquake, something that shakes up our lives so much, whether it's a major illness, whether it's a major crisis in our relationship, whether it's a job crisis, whatever it might be, something that stops us immediately and makes us look around and see what's really going on. But sometimes we just go through life one step at a time, ignoring the mystery that is around us. Ignoring what God is really doing. Sometimes, as a friend of mine would say, God has to hit us across the head with a 2x4. And then we're like, oh, I never noticed that before. You know, it's one of the reasons why I love taking these work camp trips with the youth. You know, we go from not really very radical places, but we go from Barnet to North Carolina. We're going to New York City this year. That's going to be a big transition. We're going to be working with homeless people, people with HIV, working in food cupboards in New York City. My heart starts beating faster when I even get close to New York City because I'm like, oh, what's going to happen? But it's exciting because it is an opportunity for us to see the world in a different way. And of all the trips I've taken, whether it's been in the third world or in the United States, there has been a transformation in the people that go. They see the world in a different way. I'm actually hoping that down the road we can do an adult trip to maybe the Dominican Republic or someplace third world. I know it's also, we never go to Newfoundland in the wintertime or any place like that. We always go south, but another story. But those opportunities, wherever you may go, is an opportunity for us to see the world in a different way, to see what God is doing in a different way. And we don't have to go to a third world, but we do have to be willing to look at Jesus Christ and say, there's something different going on here. To look at this coming Easter Sunday. And, you know, we go through our sunrise service, have a great breakfast, come here and have worship, and, you know, all the things are pretty and everything else. But what would it take for us at the end of this week to say, he is truly the Son of God? Let's pray. God, we come before you and we thank you for your amazing and great blessings upon us, for the amazing mysteries that are all around us, even for the difficult times and struggles that we go through that allow us to see you in a whole new light that changes our lives. And Lord, we certainly don't look forward to the struggles, don't look forward to the conflict, but we do look forward to being able to see the mystery that you have prepared for us, to see the grace that is in other people around us, to see the power that your Holy Spirit has for us to be able to make changes around our world. So, Lord, we pray that you will guide us. Pray that, most of all, that you will open our eyes and hearts, particularly this week, as we go through this time of reflecting on Christ's death, his resurrection, and how it's changed the world, but also how it has changed us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, I hope these messages have been a blessing to you for your life. And if you need any more assistance, be sure to contact the Presbyterian Church of Barnet in Vermont. Thank you.